You can watch and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Matt Walsh, Brian Wolfmiller, and Hans Feeney at the 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Making the Case is Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. All paid registrants will have the ability to watch the conference live and on demand. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or give us a call 618-223-8385. It's a long story in The New Yorker in search of King David's lost empire. It's more or less a chronicle of a debate over this ancient king in the Old Testament. Did he exist? If he existed, is he anything like he is depicted in the Old Testament? Why is there so little archaeological evidence for his existence and for his empire? We're going to be talking about this story. Dr. Craig Evans joins us on this Tuesday afternoon. He's Distinguished Professor of Christian Origins and the Dean of the School of Christian Thought at Houston Baptist University, and author of several books, including Jesus and His World, The Archaeological Evidence. Dr. Evans, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hey, thank you. Good to be with you.
How would you explain in layman's terms the relative lack of archaeological evidence for David or his kingdom?
Well, it's simple. We're talking about somebody who lived 3,000 years ago. Talking about somebody who lived in a land that has been conquered and overrun by various kingdoms, various armies, battles that have taken place, and so on for most of that time, many, many times. So we're talking about the evidence simply being knocked down and buried. In the passage of time, anything that's not on metal or stone is going to disappear. This is not the dry desert of Egypt. So anything written on papyrus or parchment or something like that would disappear. Anything that was not baked, that is anything on clay, not baked and turned into ceramic, would disappear. So when you keep that in mind, a whole lot of evidence is simply going to disappear, but a whole lot of evidence still exists that's buried, and we've been digging it up. Archaeology of Israel in any kind of a modern sense is barely 100 years old. And so what has been found just in the last 25, 30 years? Well, we have the Tel Dan inscription that mentions the house of David. That's pretty significant. It's a political inscription. It's inscribed by the kingdom of Syria, an enemy country at that time. It's up in the northern boundaries. That inscription alone says a whole lot, and in my view, offers important support for most of the biblical record relating to David, namely that he's a real guy. He had a capital in Jerusalem. It was a kingdom that extended north all the way to the southern edges of today's Lebanon, and that he had treaties with foreign powers. So that inscription is very significant evidence. Of course, that's only some of the evidence. We continue to do work in Jerusalem and continue to unearth foundations and building structures that likely do date back all the way to the time of David, and even earlier.
Can you describe, and it's mentioned in the New Yorker story, but can you describe the debate between what's called the minimalist and the maximalist schools on this issue?
Yeah, sure. It's one of those things where you've got the minimalists who are saying that only a bare minimum of the biblical text, the story, the very thing we're talking about, so say the books of Samuel and Kings, that only a minimum of the historical information provided there, where they people like David or Solomon are mentioned, the size of their kingdoms, how far they extend north, south, east, west, and so on, only a minimum of that information can be accepted. And so in its most extreme view, a minimalist might go so far as to say there wasn't even a King David or a Solomon, that the whole idea, it's some kind of idealized King Arthur, Camelot kind of a thing, only said in the Middle East, that after the Babylonian Empire, the Jewish people began to fantasize and dream about how the good old days were and so on, but those good old days never even existed. Now, that's the extreme form of minimalism. The trouble is, it puts it at odds with the archaeological evidence, and it forces strange dating, unnatural understanding of the stratigraphy that is measuring the layers that are unearthed in archaeology. And most Old Testament archaeologists and historians don't agree with minimalism, but they're still out there and they still make waves. For me personally, I don't like to hold on to theories that put me at odds with the evidence. If I keep digging up stuff that says my theory's wrong, I'm going to change my theory. And I would recommend that the minimalists, what few are still out there, that they do the same thing.
The story in The New Yorker focuses on the ideas of Israel Finkelstein. What do we know about his theories regarding King David?
Well, you know, he's had to retreat. He's a nice guy, Israel Finkelstein, and he's been doing work at Shiloh and elsewhere. I can understand where you take the view of, look, I'm not going to believe the Bible just because the Bible says something. I want to have proof. Well, okay, from a secular archaeological point of view, that's okay. But when the proof is found and you keep digging it up and it agrees with the biblical narrative and you still want to reject it, you still want to interpret the physical evidence in an unnatural way, then that's strange. And if I go back to the Tel Dan inscription again, I mean, there it is. You can just see it as plain as day. It's on display in the Israel Museum in Jerusalem. It says House of David right there. That means the dynasty, the Davidic dynasty that's being referenced by a not-so-friendly kingdom of Syria. We're talking about an inscription that would have been written just a little over 100 years after King David died. So this is not some kind of post-exilic mythology that Syria is tapping into. It's real politic. And so they're referring to a real dynasty, a real King David who founded it. Well, when you look at that, the minimalist is embarrassed by that. First of all, tries to say it's a forgery. There's no basis for that. Science shows that it's not a forgery. Then they try to say, well, maybe it doesn't mean David. We could vocalize David differently. Maybe it means Dode, House of the Uncle, which is really weird. And so you look at that, you think, huh, a minimalist isn't very comfortable with evidence. He's always fighting it. And that's what tells me, you know, you're better to give up your bad theory because it keeps running shipwreck on the hard evidence.
With a few minutes here before we take our first break, Dr. Evans, what is the debate over the dating of the evidence that's being uncovered about King David?
A lot of the dating boils down to what the pottery is, the pottery typology that you always find, the presence of iron and which kind of iron it is, because it's a huge difference. Are we talking about Iron Age or are we talking about Bronze Age? So how far back do we go, for example, with the digging at Shiloh? And I'm very familiar with the excavations at Shiloh. I know the archaeologist who's working there. So that's what comes into play. And so if you dig something up and you look at it and you interpret it a certain way, you create a new chronology that then shifts everything by 200-300 years or more, and then you're out of sync with the biblical narrative. And so that's what it often boils down to.
And you said that the minimalists often kind of play fast and loose with the way that you would ordinarily date artifacts like this?
Well, yeah, and in some cases, you just don't wonder. I mean, I don't want to get into a serious controversy, naming names and so on, but there's been some strange stuff in previous digs at Shiloh where there are claims being made that there's no Iron Age evidence, and which would then put us right at the right time, put us right around the 10th century B.C., which is the time of King Saul and King David, at Shiloh when the Ark of the Covenant would have been there. And that's a real marker for the people of Israel. And so I don't know how to explain it, but claims that there's no Iron Age evidence when it's just chock full of Iron Age pottery. And I know that from other archaeologists who know how to read pottery really well. So there is some odd stuff going on there. So it's a very contentious thing.
When we come back from this break, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Craig Evans, author of several books, including Jesus and His World, The Archaeological Evidence. We're discussing a New Yorker story, In Search of King David's Lost Empire. We'll talk about Jerusalem, David's headquarters for a lot of his activities after becoming king, and of course, the headquarters of David's dynasty as well. What do we know about what's under the current city that points toward David and his kingdom?
expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Digging deeper, a hit on an ancient lump. Lift my spirit up and dig a bit deeper. Must be careful with my magnetometer. Excavation takes a long time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a New Yorker story in search of King David's lost empire. Dr. Craig Evans is our guest, distinguished professor of Christian origins and the dean of the School of Christian Thought at Houston Baptist University. Dr. Evans, let's talk about Jerusalem because, as you said before, it is David's eventual headquarters and then becomes the capital of the empire that he and his son would reign over. What do we find there that is evidence for David and his kingdom?
Well, what we find in Jerusalem is a complex of buildings that go way beyond the kind of building complex you would expect if Jerusalem was a tiny little town, if the leader of Jerusalem in the 10th century was nothing more than a tribal chieftain, as some of the minimalists like to describe David, not a real king, but just the head of a small group of people. There's just too much building, far beyond what the city of Jerusalem would require. And we have traced most of the walls as well. We have a sense of where the temple was in a smaller, where it is today, but only it was a little smaller, that platform. And the palace, administrative buildings, and so on. And so all of it points to a smallish kingdom, but a kingdom that would extend to the north and to the south, and pretty much the way the Bible describes the boundaries. And the Tel Dan inscription that's found in the north would confirm that. I mean, that's a boundary marker. And it's a foreign country, a rival with which Israel was often at war, Syria. And so it recognizes the dynasty. So what we're finding in Jerusalem matches that Tel Dan inscription way up north. And so, and of course, what else do we find? You go back in the pre-exilic period, you go back to the 8th century, that is the 700s B.C., and we have found a seal that mentions King Hezekiah just a couple of meters away. A couple years later, in the same ruins, we find a seal with the name of the prophet Isaiah on it. And so although this doesn't prove everything that's said in 2 Kings or in the book of Isaiah, it does agree with it and shows these are real people who lived at the same time and had interaction with each other. And that's what the Bible says. And so that's what I mean about minimalists have trouble with the archaeology. The archaeology, as we unfind it, as we find it, supports, it correlates with. I mean, we still have gaps in our knowledge, of course. But it's in agreement. If these people didn't exist, if the biblical narrative was all imaginary and make-believe, then why do we find corresponding and supportive archaeology? We really shouldn't, but we do, and that's what makes us think that these old biblical narratives are historical records and documents and not fairy tales.
Is there also, and this is kind of out of the realm of archaeology per se and more into Old Testament scholarship, is there also the idea that were these made up stories, were these like Arthur and the Round Table kind of stories to glorify a non-existent past, it would not have that ring of truth that the accuracy of places, the inconsistency of names and all those kinds of things that you find in the David and Solomon narrative that lends it that ring of truth?
Well, you're very right. We call it verisimilitude. You know, like if you read the old stories about King Arthur, you hardly know where any of this is taking place. You hardly know what period of time it is. You can't point to a single piece of topography and identify it on the basis of those stories. But the Old Testament narrative is very specific. It refers to springs, brooks, lakes, mountains, cities, villages, roadways, customs, many, many of which can be confirmed. All the topography can be confirmed. And if this was fiction, how is it so accurate? The other thing, too, that points toward verisimilitude or you know, a believable history is it's a history warts and all. David is a very flawed person. And so there, even though there's this tendency and a desire to lionize him and put him on a pedestal and idealize him, the man, you know, makes terrible mistakes and commits grievous sins. Of course, the well-known one, adultery with Bathsheba, murder of her husband. This is not the kind of stuff you make up about somebody you're trying to lionize. I mean, Israel's first king is a disaster, and that's Saul. You know, when Israel sins, the record says so. When Israel suffers terrible setbacks, defeats in battle, the record says so. So this just doesn't strike anyone as the kind of fictional stuff some starry-eyed dreamer makes up because he thinks David's the greatest guy that ever walked.
I have always been intrigued by a reference to David in the book of Acts during Peter's Pentecost sermon where he refers to something that is archaeological evidence at his time, but I don't believe it's been found, and that is David's tomb. He says his tomb is with us to this day. Does anybody have any idea what he's talking about?
Well, yeah, we know what he's talking about, but you're right. We haven't found it. There's some guesstimations, but, you know, we have outside of the Bible correspondence or corroboration for that. Josephus himself talks about King Herod. So now we're getting back to the time, the generation before the birth of Jesus, and King Herod was intrigued with the tomb of David, and he knew of a story 100 years earlier than that, so now we're going all the way back to the 2nd century B.C., where one of the Jewish rulers looted the tomb, went inside and found gold and took it out, which, by the way, is the very thing you would expect to find in a king's tomb, valuables, just like the tombs of the kings of and the pharaohs in Egypt. And so Herod, a little bit hard up for money, decided to check it out, and there was a fiery explosion, we think probably methane gas or something in there, that actually killed a couple of his guards, and he was terrified, interpreted it as a divine judgment, and built a beautiful marble gate entryway for the tomb. And so that's probably what Peter is referring to in the book of Acts. And so in Peter's time, this gate would now be about 40, 50 years old. And it's a very noticeable landmark. Everybody knows. No one contradicts it. So this is not a fictional character we're talking about, not an insignificant person, but the founder of a dynasty who, you know, remains remembered for 1,000 years. And has recently had his tomb renovated, and that's what the book of Acts is talking about.
Dr. Craig Evans is Distinguished Professor of Christian Origins and the Dean of the School of Christian Thought at Houston Baptist University. He's author of several books, including Jesus and His World, The Archaeological Evidence. You'll find a link to this book and to Dr. Evans' website at issuesetc.org, click Talk on Demand Archives. Dr. Evans, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Todd.
We will be getting into listener email and the Issues Etc. listener comment line on the other side of the break for the remainder of the program. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382. The Boy Who Was Lost, The Beggar's Greatest Wish, The Unforgiving Servant. These are some of the 12 stories that you'll find in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Archbook's Treasury, Life of Jesus. Learn more about this resource for children, grandchildren, and godchildren, ages 5 through 9, at issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Archbook's Treasury, Life of Jesus, 1-800-325-3040.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we're going to continue our romp through Romans. Israel's remnant, jealous of Gentiles, Gentiles grafted in, mystery of Israel's salvation, and a living sacrifice. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Timeless truth that prepares scholars to serve their neighbor in all of life through their various vocations. This is what scholars receive at Wittenberg Academy. If you are looking for a solidly Lutheran online education for your child, consider Wittenberg Academy, where doctrine is sound, academics are rigorous, and relationships are genuine. We offer full-time, part-time, and diploma track options to meet your child's Lutheran education needs. We partner with brick-and-mortar schools and homeschools. You can find out more at wittenbergacademy.org.
Our life together as the church after COVID-19 will bring new challenges. For example, we might be tempted to skip the regular gathering of God's people because we're more comfortable streaming it on Facebook instead. May it not be. Join the Reverend Dr. Mark Wood as he explores this theme in his article for the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness titled, Gathering Again, It Will Not Be the Same. Subscribe at cph.org/witness, The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective, cph.org/witness.